Anchored in Jesus Ministries is sponsoring a trip to see Jesus, a musical stage adventure at Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster, PA. This will be a one-day trip, July 27th, 2018. The proceeds will benefit Anchored in Jesus Ministries. For details on this group event, go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series, The Great Showdown, God versus Man. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Sacredness of Life. Who decides, God or man?
And it's called The Monkey's Viewpoint. It says this: three monkeys sat in a coconut tree, discussing things they said to be. Said one to the others, "Now listen, you two, there's a certain rumor that can't be true, that man descended from our noble race. The very idea is a big disgrace. No monkey ever deserted his wife, starved her babies, or ruined her life. And you've never known another monk to leave her babies with others to bunk, or to pass them from one to another till they scarcely know who is their mother. And another thing you'll never see, a monk build a fence around a coconut tree and let the coconuts go to waste, forbidding all other monks to taste. Why, if I put a fence around a tree, starvation would force you to steal from me. Here's another thing a monk won't do: go out at night and get on a stew, or use a gun, a club, or a knife to take some other monkey's life. Yes, man descended, that ornery cuss, but brothers, he did not descend from us." I like that. The monkey's viewpoint. Monkey, when the monkey looks at man, he don't want to have anything to do with man. I like what it said. Man might have descended, that ornery cuss, but brother, he did not descend from us. So even the monkeys realized that man didn't come from him. All right. So when we think about this, look at the fact that God values life, but man devalues life. When you think about abuse, that wives, women, children are being abused. The fact that a man would take his hand and put his hand on a woman is an indication that he does not value life, that he devalues life. Because especially when you look at 1 Peter and it says that God created the wife as the gentle vessel, and that she is to be honored and treasured, and that's the way that the man is supposed to look at the life of his mate. But to reach out and hit his wife is actually reaching out and striking at the image of God. And so we see abuse. When police, as we have seen over the last couple of years, and I'm not going to broad brush police this morning, here at Bethany Baptist Church, I would like to think we have a great relationship with the police in our neighborhood. I don't know if you've seen it, but you know, there's been postings on Facebook where they've come in, they spend time with the young people in our church. We have community meetings here where the police come in and they get to know people in the neighborhood. So we thank God for the police in our neighborhood, because we know that there are some good policemen. And they come and we have relationship with them. They know some of our leaders, and our leaders know them. If they see them out on the street, you know, we're able to speak and have a conversation. We had a community night out, and the police came, and they let the kids get in their car and turn on the siren. And, I mean, it was just a wonderful time. So we have a great relationship with the police in our neighborhood. But you know what? All police are not, they have the right motives. And so I think that, you know, we see a lot of, you know, police, you know, abusing their power, and so having no regard for life. And so when we talk about man devaluing life, when you can just take a person's life and not think about what you're doing, the ramifications of what you're doing, then, you know, that's pretty sad. Something that, if you want to study, human trafficking, that devalues life. Now, what am I saying? See, this is man gone amok. This is man at his worst. That when you don't take what God says, that life is sacred, then you could take another person and you can sell them. In these current times, they are trafficking. Yo, it's once every 30 seconds, somebody is affected by human trafficking. Either take it once every 30 seconds. So that means every 30 seconds, if you just count 30 seconds and wait and count another 30 seconds, that's two people whose lives have been devalued by some other individual. Man, if that don't touch your heart and see, just go online and look at this whole idea of human trafficking. And you know the sad thing is that most of the people caught up in it are children. They're getting children. And you know what? You say, oh, well, you know, that's around the world. We don't have to worry about that. No. It's right here in Pittsburgh. They are taking kids right here in Pittsburgh in human trafficking. And so this is what we see, a devaluation of life, that life is devaluated. Black on black murder grieves my heart, man. I mean, any murder should grieve our hearts. But to see black people committing their own genocide by killing one another. Do you know that 90% of every black person that gets killed is killed by another black person? 90%. And so we see that how can I just go take somebody's life if I realize, man, you are made in the image of God. That you are a special creation of God. That you are somebody that God has created, designed, given life to. That you are somebody that God has given meaning and purpose to their life. And then you just go up and pow! Take it out. God values life. Man devalues life. As we look at the taking of babies in the womb, it ought to grieve our hearts to see babies that are in the womb. And some, you know, some politicians are fighting for, you know, late-term abortions when the baby is fully developed. And you know, the other thing that grieves my heart is that we make up 12 to 13% of the population of the United States. 12 to 13%. And yet and still, we account for 38% of all abortions. Something's wrong with that. We're committing our own genocide. 90% of every black person that gets killed is killed by another black person. We're not even giving our babies a chance to come into this world. That's why the Mexican-American community has surpassed the African-American community. Because we're committing our own genocide. Because we don't value life. This is something that should be instilled in every child. Every child should be told the value of life. That everybody's life is valuable in the sight of God.
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Greetings, radio friends. Your cry has been heard. The 2018 Biblical Counseling Conference at Bethany Baptist Church. We will be using the Bible to deliver people from the distressing issues of life. This year, we are focusing on toxic relationships. The workshops at this conference will include identifying and recovering from an abusive relationship, counseling teens through troubling times, identifying toxic relationships and how to break free, dealing with toxicity in codependent relationships. All are welcome. This is just not for counselors or pastors. This is for the everyday layperson in the church. There is an early bird registration if you register before March 31st. For more information, visit us at www.bethanybaptist-pgh.org or call 412-246-4463 and mention workshops. We hope to see you there.
Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
When we look at violence, let me read to you some statistics on violence. Every 35 minutes, there's a murder somewhere. Every 35 minutes, somebody is murdered. If that's not a devaluation of life. Every 6 minutes, and this ought to cause the women in here to pray. You ought to be praying for your sisters. Every 6 minutes, a violent rape takes place. Every 6 minutes. Every 40.5 seconds, an aggravated assault takes place. Now, some of these are probably crimes of passion. You know, I'm not going to deny that. Some of these are probably out of, you know, angry response. But the bottom line is that it all boils down to a devaluation of life, that your life is not important. If I see it as God sees it, then I see how important every person that walks across the face of this earth, how important their life is. The Holocaust, over 6 million Jewish people killed. 6 million Jewish people killed, wiped out because Hitler had no valuation on the lives of the Jewish people. And then he was coming after that. He was coming to the gypsies, and he was coming to the handicapped, and eventually he was getting down to the black folks, right? I mean, that was, and you know who he read? You know who, one of the books that he read that had influenced him? Charles Darwin, Origin of the Species, right? So this guy had no value for human life. To just go, other than his and the people around him, to just go take their lives. Slavery showed a devaluation of human life. You know, I had the opportunity a couple weeks ago to speak at this function. It was called the Peter Claver Breakfast. And I spoke at this breakfast, and it's a group of people that come together to celebrate a Catholic monk by the name of Peter Claver. And so, you know, when I got the invitation, I said, well, let me read up to see, you know, who this guy Peter Claver is, so when I go, I can be speaking with some type of intelligence. Well, Peter Claver actually was a monk or priest, and he met the slaves when they came to America and they got off the boat. And he was right there to pray with them, to see what needs they had, to try to minister, you know, to these individuals. And he recorded some of the most horrific conditions that you can imagine a human being would have to suffer. Can you imagine to come across the ocean and having nowhere to relieve yourself except right there? And you got people all around you relieving themselves. No respect for human life. A degradation of human life. Here, this person is created in the image of God, and you treat them just like an animal. And so, this is man. This right here is mankind at his worst. And that's why I have a hard time swallowing this evolution thing. Because when I go back to the first 11 chapters of Genesis, and Genesis tells me that God created me in his image, and that he values me so much, that if somebody comes and takes my life, that God takes that very seriously. Do you realize that to strike out against the image of another human being is to strike out against the image of God? And if we don't see that, my brothers and sisters, then we're missing the whole purpose of what God has for us. And so, you know, as we think about some of the things that are up here, and there are probably many others that I could have put up here, but as a child of God, you know, number one, you know, we ought to be praying for these situations up there. Because these folk are violating others who are created in the image of God. So we need to be praying. And then there may be people here. There may be somebody here that God will burden your heart and lead you to get involved in something that will uplift life, human life, as God sees it. You see, God values life. Man devalues life. So let me wind down with this. I'm going to finish with this. All right. When we look at the sacredness of life, and, you know, I thought about this long and hard because I wanted to explain it in such a way where it would be meaningful. All right. When we think about the sacredness of life, we see there are two aspects of it. There's righteousness and there's mercy. There's doing that which is right, and then there's doing that which is just. All right? So from conception to birth, that's righteousness. You know, speaking for those who don't have a voice, that's righteousness. To speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, that's righteousness. And then from birth to death, once a person comes into this world, that's mercy. So when we think about mercy, we think about the fact that God is concerned about the quality of people's lives. You know, one of the complaints against the pro-life people, right? One of the complaints, oh, well, y'all just want to save babies and bring them into the world and let them suffer and let them go through all kind of difficulties and hard times. Well, let me tell you this, that God is concerned about a person's quality of life. If you look at those verses, we don't have time to look at them now, but God said, look, you make sure, he told the Jewish people, you make sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you take care of the widow, the children, and the poor. You make sure that they have a quality of life. That if you have your farm or whatever, and you get, you know, the first fruits went to God, and then there was the harvest, and that was for you to keep, then what did he say? He said, leave some gleaning out there for who? For the poor people. Because God was concerned about their quality of life. God is concerned about murder. God is so concerned about murder that he says in the Big Ten Commandments, right? There are 630-some laws in the Old Testament, but God kind of chiseled them down to 10 when he gave them to Moses. He says, do not murder. Now, somebody said, well, I thought the verse said, thou shalt not kill. Well, if you look up the Hebrew word, you know what the Hebrew word is? Murder. It's murder. Thou shalt not murder. So God was so serious about this that he said that we should not murder. God is concerned about injustice. When people are committed unjustly, God is concerned about them. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 1. Solomon said, so I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. So he said, I considered all the things that were done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on their side, and on the side of their oppressor, there was power, but they had no comforter. What is that? That's injustice at its worst. That people who have the power take advantage of people who don't have any power. And Solomon said, man, this is not right. God moved Solomon to say, this is not right. God respects life so much that he says to commit another person with injustice or do injustice to another person, to their life. That's how much I believe in the sacredness of life. And then finally, we see under this whole idea of justice is violence. God, I'm not going to read it. You go back and read Genesis 6, 5 through 11. God hates violence. And God hates violence so much that it moved him to do something. God hates violence so much that it moved him to do something. And so we see that when a person comes into this world, as far as their life is concerned, God wants them to receive mercy. Now, what about before they come into the world? All right? God said in Psalm 139, in verse 14 and 16, he said, when you came together, when you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. The moment you were conceived, I knew you. You know, I was watching the video the other day, and another pastor shared it with me. And so, you know, sometimes you got to be careful the stuff that you watch. But some of y'all might have seen this. And it shows how that when the sperm and the egg come together in the womb, that there's actually a spark. And I said, wow. I mean, actually, to sit there and see it, wow. And so God is saying, at the moment the sperm and the egg come together, I know you. I know you. And the psalmist goes on to say that all your days, or some people say days, some people say all the members of your body, whatever the case might be, both are significant. All your days are recorded from the time that you in the womb, that all your days were recorded. That I knew you when you were first conceived. And so, you know, as a Christian, you know, we should never argue or be concerned or not know when does life begin. You know, according to the Bible. Now, again, this is not Pastor Glaze. This is the Bible. According to the Bible, life begins at conception. So, you know, there needs not be any argument. Which, you know, I didn't think I was going to get too many amens on that right there. But, you know, that's all right. Amen. Amen. I'm still working on these guys down, you know, down, a couple blocks down, right? You get them. I'm going to pay them $5 a piece on Sunday morning. And have them come sit right in the front. And I said, all I want y'all to do is say amen. Right? I just need somebody to say amen. That's all. All right? All right. And then he's not only concerned about, you know, life at conception, but he's also concerned about it in the womb. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. God said to Jeremiah, I knew you. He said, I knew you. I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. That's not poetic. That's not mythological. God said, Jeremiah, I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. And so as believers, we should be concerned about all life, because all life is sacred to God from a righteous standpoint and from a mercy standpoint, that God is concerned about life. So the three questions, you know, we've been ending with questions that to ask, to work with. The first question, how can life be sacred if we are here by chance? According to evolution, if we're here by chance, how can life be sacred? Question number two, is one reason we see so much killing in the world due to the fact that human beings have a low value of life? You know, I told you before that when I first came to Bethany and we were out in the streets, that some of the brothers out there didn't expect to live past 25. That was their mentality, because they figured they're going to get caught up in that and that their life was not worth anything, a low value of life. Which worldview adds more life, more value to human life? Evolution, which is subjective, or creation, which is sacred?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Who Decides the Definition of Marriage, God or Man? From our series, The Great Showdown, God versus Man, which is taken from the book of Genesis. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Sacredness of Life, Who Decides, God or Man? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Sacredness of Life, Who Decides, God or Man? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Sacredness of Life, Who Decides, God or Man? Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. That's 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.